This episode of Ready, Set, Pwn is brought to you by Circle K, who currently has exclusive Vancouver Titans Froster Cups available at participating Circle K and Max convenience stores here in Western Canada. With six different cups available, maybe you'll grab a bumper, or maybe you'll grab a slime. Maybe you'll grab the entire set of six. Whatever you do, though, don't wait too long. These exclusive collector cups are only available while supplies last. Oh, and one last thing. Once you've picked up a cup or you've picked up all six, shoot us a picture of it on Twitter by tagging us at Ready, Set, Pwn. Hey, and while you're at it, tag Circle K too, at Circle K West Can, just to let them know RSP sent you.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Welcome to another episode of the Ready, Set, Pwn podcast, your premier source for everything to do with the Vancouver Titans. I am Chris at Lifeforce, the voice you love to hear each and every Wednesday, joined by two other voices you love to hear. That's right, Omni at OmniStrife and Sam at another Sam Chan. Welcome, gentlemen.
Hello, hello.
What's going on?
That was so energetic from the two of you.
I mean, we're trying. We're kind of like peaking at this point.
Where you had your coffee today?
I'm drinking tea, to be honest, not coffee. Mm-hmm.
It kind of feels like you guys Shanghai Dragon the effort there.
Pretty much.
Anyhow.
And now we're just trying to extend the game.
There we go. What have you guys been up to over the course of the past week? I mean, the Vancouver Titans didn't play, so we haven't really been up to a whole lot. We got to watch a little bit of the playoff play-in tourney. So that's all done. We got to talk about that this week.
I don't know. It feels kind of like a transitional period for me. So not much. Busy at work. Feels a bit surreal. Like today morning, going to work, you see all the kids starting their school year. We're kind of approaching the end of summer, end of Overwatch League Season 2. It's pretty nuts thinking about it. It feels like it only began yesterday.
Mm-hmm. I remember when we were sitting around trying to debate what the Titans would be called.
Yeah.
The Titans. I mean, we've known that all along, right? Oh, but yeah, you know, like thinking back, I mean, this podcast itself, you know, spun up, you know, was it late last year? And then, you know, Omni, you joined me, and Sam, you came out. And yeah, I mean, I was actually talking to someone about how our off season, what we'll do in the summer. I'm like, well, wait a minute. First of all, our off season isn't over the summer. Two, summer's over. And three, it'll be interesting to see what the off season's like because it's close. I mean, we only got a handful of weeks to go before there is a grand champion. And then we've got Overwatch World Cup, we've got BlizzCon, and then we've got February.
Yeah,
I mean, if digging igloos by then, right?
Yeah, if the Discord is any indication, it looks like we're transitioning into a Minecraft podcast here.
I appreciate the segue. I totally do. That's right. If you are into Minecraft, RSP is now doing Minecraft. I set that up because, again, fans of the podcast, community members are like, hey, we should do something like this. I thought, what the heck? Let's make it happen. And I, you know, talked about how I'm kind of enjoying Minecraft. It's just a chill game to play. And I'm the total type of person that, like, wants to build and stuff. So I'm really having a good time. If that is something you're interested in taking part in, you just have to go to readysetpwn.com/Minecraft, or actually, sorry, RSPMC, my bad. But, yeah, I mean, it's the easiest way to get into the server is join our Discord and say, hey, can I join? Give us your username. We'll whitelist you. Off you go. But, you know, that's one of the many things I'm looking at us being able to do over the course of the offseason. Occupy time, reward the community, work together, play together, have a good time. But this episode, it's all about Overwatch League. So we're going to talk a little bit about the fact that we know who the Titans are going to be playing on Thursday and what to expect into the double knockout or double elimination playoff bracket, I guess, is what we're going to call it. I think it's what they're calling it, is a bracket. We'll talk a little bit about the playoffs play-in that took place. Last weekend, there's been some Overwatch League awards handed out. There's a little bit of news, but hey, you know what? Let's just get straight into the payload.
Moving the payload! Join me!
The Vancouver Titans face off against Sam's favorite team, the Soul Dynasty, Thursday, 4 p.m. Pacific. First and foremost, before we actually get in to the fact that the Titans are playing the Dynasty, that 4 p.m. Pacific starts a real kicker. I mean, for a guy like me who's got a day job, that's tough. And not only that, we're going to talk a little bit about it. The Titans have a watch party and doors open at 3:30. Like, I'm curious who's actually going to be there on Thursday that early.
Jobs are overrated.
Yeah. I'm going to have fighting the signal appearing and disappearing through the SkyTrain, which to those who live outside of Vancouver, it doesn't always be, despite the name, it's not always in the sky. Sometimes it turns into a full-on subway. Yeah, so hence why the signal will be a bit troublesome for me.
Yeah. But it is a 4 p.m. Pacific start. Vancouver mm-hmm. Titans facing off against the Soul Dynasty, who happened to be one of the two teams that made it out of the playoff play-in tournament. Now, some background, actually, just on the way the playoffs function. We continue to talk about it being a double elimination. It is, but unlike previous stage playoffs where the winners of each match were then reseeded, there is no reseeding here. So the Vancouver Titans Soul Dynasty will face, the winner of that will face the winner of Hangzhou Los Angeles, and the loser of those two matches face off each other in the loser's bracket. Mm. So that out of the way, back to the Titans and Dynasty. Do the Dynasty stand a chance?
It's a dream come true, man.
Well, okay, is a dream come true because you're happy whoever wins?
Yeah, I guess so.
I'm personally conflicted about this. This, to me, is the first instance of something that we might call an upset, even though we didn't know coming in, except for Scrimbucks, right? Who is the better team and who is the worst team? And everybody was hailing Guangzhou as this really hot team on the rise. So I was pretty afraid of them, to be honest. And we talked a little bit about this last time. So I was scared to play Guangzhou a bit more than I was scared of Seoul. But then again, they got dumpstered by Seoul. So was this just a case of a very well-prepared Dynasty against an overconfident Guangzhou? Maybe Seoul are really that good in that Sigma meta. So I think we 4-0'd them in the first stage playoff. That's when we played them. Then it was like a 3-1 and a 4-0 in stage two. We have a good record against them. But guess what? Guangzhou also had like a good record against them. They even beat them in stage four. I don't know. I'm confused, to be honest, as I'm sure a lot of people are.
It's so weird to see you speak so highly of Seoul. It's so weird to see where my thoughts were coming in
into this. That's exactly why I'm so confused, right?
It's so confused because there's, in all honesty, there's two reasons that I wanted Seoul to win. One, because as it's been well documented now, in season one I was a Seoul supporter. That left me, you know, constantly disappointed. And I'm not going to be honest, like going into the season, I wondered like, hey, would I become a Titans fan or would I stick to Seoul? Just like what would naturally come about? And I think, you know, the podcast had a big part to do with it. But ever since, you know, we rolled out the blue and green, it's been blue and green all the way. And I haven't really looked back other than, you know, for the occasional Joker and whatever. But the other reason that I wanted Seoul to succeed is because I actually think Seoul has the best matchup in the Titans' favor of even Shanghai, London, or Guangzhou. And it goes back to what I was talking about last week with the Farah play.
Right.
Of the teams that, you know, we saw in the pre-playoff, what are we, playoff play-in?
The playoff play-ins.
Playoff play-in. Like, Seoul by far has the worst Farah. And that's something that I've seen the Titans kind of struggle to counter time and time again. I'd much happier go up against Fitz's Doomfist, up against Fleta's McCree or whatever he's got going on, the Reaper. I think we match up much better against that. And I think everybody's kind of forgotten a little bit about Haxel's Doomfist, which we're going to see come out. So I actually like this matchup a lot. And of the teams that are going to come in, I actually like you know, Vancouver's chances against Seoul the most. So I'm happy for two different reasons.
Right. And you have all that, you know, story of runaway against the Lunatic High, even though it's not really the same team. Despite the fact that we're seeing more of Toby and Ryu Jeong in that meta, it looks like they mesh well. Ryu Jeong has been playing pretty well on that Moira, Anna. We're probably going to talk a little bit about that game against Guangzhou. But it looks like they fit the meta, and they feel to me like they are pretty adaptive and flexible. So I don't completely agree with you there, Sam, about the fact that they don't have a great Pharah. They even showed some, compared some stats for Fleta. It looked, at least on paper, like him and Nero are kind of one and two in the Pharah. I know that they don't play it a lot, but if they need to counter the Titans, which is the case that I'm pretty much afraid of, because they prepare well and they know that we are not really great performance against the Pharah comp, they might just pull it out. But like you said, first gut reaction is, oh, we don't really need to face Eileen on the Doomfist. We don't really have to face Super if they go Hanzo. We don't have to face that super, super, super scary Nero. But now, man, I don't know what's true anymore, to be honest here. Marvel has been really, really impressive.
I feel like this time next week, all the Seoul supporters are going to be talking about, why didn't Fleta's Pharah come out? You're right. I hope
because they.
I completely forgot, because you know Fleta's Pharah is great,
but they have had those weird coaching decisions, maybe lineup shakeups. They might just self sabotage because they have been doing this for quite a while. If for example, you'd see NYXL choke, Seoul has been pretty consistent with not choking but self sabotaging and pulling up these weird compositions. Maybe this is the time where they actually hit their jackpot with those weird roster shenanigans. But I don't really know. But I am still confident that we are the favorites and that we can match them per position. Yep.
Yep. I think the elephant in the room is there's this new storyline of how historically Runaway has been slow to adapt to metas, blah, 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 blah. And with, you know, Sigma coming in, that's kind of the wild card. Who's going to play? Are we actually going to adapt to it? Are we going to stick to, well, whatever it was in stage four that we did? Although, like, we haven't really shown any cards. We've been completely random this whole stage. So there's nothing really for us to stick to.
Who knows? And even, like, looking at this game between Seoul and Guangzhou, There were apparent different styles of this meta played already so early into this meta or playoffs. Kind of like what we saw with GOATS. Some people opt in for the aggressive style and some go down the surgical route. And Marvel looked kind of that aggro Rein with the entire team just pouring resource into them. And despite having like a bit less favorable stats from Hutba, he was actually more effective. And his ults and accretion, is that what that boulder attack is called? He was pretty effective. So you guys want to break down the game a little bit?
Between the Dynasty and the Titans?
Yeah. No, Dynasty and Guangzhou.
We'll do that in the fray.
Sure. Yeah.
We need content for that segment. The reason I wanted to sort of introduce the fact that, yeah, Seoul facing Vancouver, and I let you guys run with it, so there's very little more for me to add. The question mark for me is the meta shift. We knew it was going to happen. We see the new hero introduced. Again, it's weird in my mind that you would make such a transition going into such a crucial time of the season, but it is what it is. And the early sort of rumblings is that the Doomfist introduction into this meta has, you know, almost put the Vancouver Titans on a nitro boost with the ability that Hoxall has to play on Doom. And that, you know, as Sigma playing within to their role sort of frees up the Titans sort of in their struggles with the oink and yoink that we were seeing, although it's possible we could... Yeah. You know, continue to see that show up. I, you know, again, the question mark, it's just we don't know what to expect from the Titans. We haven't yet seen them.
So let's try and speculate. At least looking at this game, it looks like Baptiste is not a 100% requirement anymore, like he was in Stage 4. It seems that a lot of teams would go for the more sustainable approach with the Lucio, with Moira. Maybe we will not see Rappel as much. The big mystery is probably the tanks that we're going to talk about in a bit. But looking at the DPS lineup, it's 100% we're going to see Haxal, because he's probably our most talented DPS, most flexible, and he's definitely our best Doomfist. But I actually thought about who might be the second one. So in some maps, I expect to see Haxal play alongside with Samin Su. And we saw some teams play two characters, two same DPS players, and they switched roles between one another, between maps, because I anticipated if for some reason we might need a Pharah and a Doomfist, then great, you can play Samin Su and the Doomfist. And we saw him being quite effective on that in Li Jiang. And Haxal can go the Pharah route. Or if, let's say, you want the other really, really popular comp that we saw of Doomfist and Reaper, we can also run that, right? Because Haxal. So I guess flexibility is the word that I'm looking for. And I feel like with the weird combination we haven't seen much of Haxal and Samin Su, at least not in the 2-2-2 roll lock composition, that's what I'm anticipating to see. And now there's the big, great mystery of what's going on with TZ. We know he's in LA. We know he's by being introduced and all, and we've speculated this a bunch. I think he's eligible to play. I can totally see the Titans putting him up to play in some map, maybe even more than that. And there's also this weird position. What is Sigma? Is he a main tank? Is he an off tank? We see a lot of flex supports play him, like Poco. We saw Hadba play him. But we saw in other examples how the main tank is actually the one who's playing Sigma. So
yeah. Jester and Marvel.
Right. The only real example that we know of, at least, of Bumper playing that Sigma wasn't pretty. And he is an okay Orisa. He seemed to be improving a lot, but who knows?
He's also feeding a lot.
Well, that goes without saying. But maybe it'll be Samin Su. Who knows? Maybe it'll be Janu. TZ might come in.
Yeah. We'd actually chatted about this as to if, let's say, Sigma comes in, who would fill that role if it wasn't Bumper? And I think collectively we sort of thought, Samin Su might be able to do that. Like, you'd think about sort of the way the Zarya is played. Zarya needs to be able to toss that shield, have, you know, that perspective along the map. Granted, in the Goats meta, she was your damage dealer. That's not what Sigma's going to be. But the fact that you have to be able to, you know, essentially reposition your shield in a moment's notice, have every angle covered to prevent the flank, be able to use your one single counter and accretion.
And playing a non-mobile tank as well.
Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I think in my mind, that's where SMS kind of fits the tank role. I wouldn't necessarily think SMS gets in over Stitch. I think Haxal's in. That's a lock. There's no question about that. But I feel that Stitch provides you greater flexibility in the DPS role than SMS does.
With what heroes, in your opinion?
Well, I agree. SMS may have the Doomfist advantage if we're going to see, you know, Haxal have to swap into a Pharah or something along those lines. Okay, that's that scenario, I would agree. But then I feel that Stitch is an adequate Reaper, at least to the same capability that we've seen from Samin Su. And then from there, hit scan, Stitch is far better.
Yeah, McCree, we saw a lot from. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right? So, he has
done Doomfist before in small stints, too.
That's true.
Yeah. And that's where, like, if it's situational, I get where we might see that swap. We saw it sort of going into the tail end of the stage. But the biggest question is up front.
Some Sombra we saw as well played, then it's definitely more of a Stitch type of play.
Yeah. I had three predictions going into this match. I actually wrote notes this time, guys, but you guys stole all my notes.
Professional.
Two of them were pretty obvious. So the first one was that Haxa was going to destroy on Doomfist. The second one was that we would see Rappel in this match.
Oh, okay.
On Moira. I don't know. I just got a weird feeling that they've been testing out this so much that they might just kind of throw it out there. Yep. Especially if they're matching up with Ruje Hong's Moira, which is all right. It's not it's I'd say it's average, but compared to his Zen and his Ana's, which are clearly more of his strength. And then the last one was the Soulmintsu on Sigma, because this guy's been sitting around stage four pretty much just twiddling his fingers for most of the part. What's he gonna do? You know, play with the new hero. But that's completely a wild guess on my thought. I thought Chris kind of outlined it much better, but this isn't inside information. It was my kind of out there kind of throwaway.
You weren't on the phone with Harsha getting all the
No, I was trying to see if I can bring another Golden State's Warrior jersey to the watch party.
Anywho.
The curveball, just before we finish, might be that weird Ryan Zarya composition that people are talking about. I'm not buying it, but it might be popping up. If it does
bumper SMS.
If it does pop up, exactly. I think that the Titans are the ones that's gonna try and pull off and maybe actually work.
Are you sure that's not super floating that rumor just to make it happen?
Just to make himself
super relevant. And bumper. They yeah. Send some DMs between one another, and definitely that's the conspiracy.
So best of four. Or not best of four, sorry. First to four. Who's going to win?
I say Titans 4-2, okay. But in more than six games. I'd say it goes 7.
Oh, you think there's going to be a draw there?
Yeah.
Okay. Sam?
Titans 4-0.
What?
Oh, wow. Whoa. That's aggressive.
Are you sure you're still aggressive. A Soul fan?
Oh, I'm definitely not a Soul fan.
Okay.
I'm going 4-1 Titans. That's maybe overconfidence on my part, but everything that I've been reading up until our episode being recorded here has the Vancouver Titans looking really good. And without my ability to see them play, I'm going to trust on others that may have been able to.
I remember they said the same thing about the Hunters, but okay.
Yeah, we'll talk more about that in the fray. The path to the grand final, and again, so if the Vancouver Titans were to win this, then they play the winner of the Gladiators Hangzhou that happens, you know, the following evening. That match will be on the Sunday at noon, presuming that the Vancouver Titans win. If the Vancouver Titans lose, they would then play on Saturday at 6 p.m. Pacific, and that match then has being in the loser's bracket, lose your out, you got to win. And then if the Titans were to win on the Saturday, then they play again the following Thursday, and if they were to win on that following Thursday, they then play the following Saturday, and if they win on that Saturday, they play on the following Sunday. Like, you don't want to get into the loser's bracket no. that early on, first and foremost, because then you the pressure's on. But two, I would prefer that they just win, because then it's a whole lot easier schedule-wise. Yeah. The other note, the Vancouver Titans are holding an official watch party, as we led off the episode with. It's going to be at the Sports Bar, Rogers Arena. Pretty much every official watch party has been at the Sports Bar. The doors open early, so matches at 4 p.m. Doors are opening, I believe, at 3:30. If you have yet to grab your ticket, they're $10, the normal price. If you were thinking, oh man, I wish I had known this was happening, that's why you need to follow Ready, Set, Pwn on Twitter. If for some reason the Vancouver Titans promotion of the event got past you, because the first, I think it was 40 people that bought a ticket for $10, they're getting themselves an actual shirt. So apologies if that's not going to be you. I will be there. I have made arrangements with the day job to free up my schedule somewhat to make myself available. Am I going to see either of you there?
I thought this was your day job.
I wish it was my day job. This is more my side gig.
Oh, yeah. So, I don't know if I'll be able to make it. I'll try. We'll see how it goes.
Oh, dude, you got to make it. Because I'm going, baby.
Ooh. Oh, my goodness. Sam will be there in his Soul Dynasty jersey.
Can they get it to me in time?
Boo.
I got to do one of those Monte Cristo things.
Yeah, it'll be the Soul Dynasty jersey will show up. It'll have Afrin on the back. And if you didn't see, someone ordered an Atlanta Rain jersey at Defran, and it came as Afrin.
Ugh. Like, there was also like a Gishue or something like that.
Yeah, it's if Fanatics doesn't sort their stuff out, like I can't imagine anyone would ever go and spend some cash on the Overwatch League store. It's
every time I get another email with more and more and more discount, I'm like, okay, go back to spam folder.
I haven't even used our discount from the package from Twitch from this year.
Don't worry, because that discount is pretty much equivalent to the discount you're getting now. Like it's anyhow, it is Fanatics. If anyone here is listening, just improve your quality control. That's all you really need to do. Invest in some QC, make things better. But back to the watch party. Why should you come to the watch party if you were wondering? Yeah, I don't know if I should. RSP pins, baby, because we have pins. That's right. There are ready, set, pwn pins available to anyone who comes up to our table and says hello. That's all that's required. Come up, say hi. We'll give you a pin.
So is it a hi or a hello? You're kind of confusing me here.
Okay. Hello, hi, both qualify.
Okay. Anyone?
Well, Sam, do you want a pin?
That's why he's coming to the watch party.
Is me making you say hello going to make it more conflicting now?
Yeah, that's too much work. I got to go talk to my agent again.
Okay. Well, while you do that, pins are available, and they're only available for those of you who come to the watch party. And that's not to suggest we might not have more pins available at some other point, but how often do you run into the three of us? Am I right?
Never happens.
I never, like, bumped into the three of us even, so yeah, our listeners,
that doesn't exist.
Yeah, well, no one has ever seen Sam and Chris in the same location all at once. Just saying. The last thing I want to talk about on the payload before we get into the fray, Twilight and Haxel received role awards for support and what we would call DPS, what the Overwatch League calls damage, respectively, which was pretty cool. We'll talk more about the role rewards, a little bit later. But the role awards were to showcase the top of their field. And I will admit, I find it interesting that there is a damage award, considering we really only saw DPS heroes come in so late in the season. And we'll talk about this in the awards in the fray, but there is a particular DPS selection that gave me pause to wonder.
Just one?
Well... Just one.
I had a bunch of them. Well, we'll get to that.
But sure. We'll talk more about that then. Twilight, Haxel, though, no doubt. Top of the game.
In my unbiased opinion, it should have been the entire team, but it's just me.
Unbiased.
Yep.
Totally unbiased. Unbiased. This is the most balanced Overwatch League podcast out there.
Oh, for sure.
By far.
Yeah. That's why we're here. Sorry. We'll keep talking about the selections in a sec, right, in the fray. You did miss one thing about the watch party, though, that I think is important to highlight, that it seems like the Titans have made sure to tell me, is that it is a Bud Light party, so you get $5 Bud Light beers all event long.
Sweet.
Is it there a Bud Light
raffle as well?
Is it still considered day drinking? Because it's early.
It's like lunch drinking.
Yeah.
Not a good example.
No, horrible podcast. All you kids out there, don't listen to...
Yeah, don't drink Bud Lights, only drink Frosters.
As a segue, where can I get my Frosters?
That's your line.
I know. Well, if I wanted to get a Froster, I'd definitely look to get it in an exclusive Vancouver Titans Froster Cup, which I can grab from Circle K, or, as you might know them out here in Western Canada, Max. Now, they're located across the country, but these Vancouver Titans Cups are only exclusive to us in Western Canada. So those of you who happen to be in Ontario and East, I am so sorry. They are not going to be at your locations there. For those of you who listen to us in the United States and happen to see a Circle K on the corner, you can't go there either. They are not available. Only in Western Canada. Now.
Get a visa just for that. It's worth it.
Yeah, sure. Dude. Hassan Minhaj visited Canada. You should too. Yeah.
The Froster Cups come in 6 different versions. You've got the 4 players, the full team, as well as the branded logo. You can put whatever flavor you want in there. And if you collect all 6, make sure you share a picture with us on social so that we can go and ask you a series of questions, promote it, celebrate the awesomeness that is these Vancouver Titans Froster Cups. And if you happen to live outside of the area that has the exclusive cups available, ask for friends who can get them. I have seen so many people, you know, thanking people and reaching out to people on Twitter saying, hey, can you grab me a cup and send it to me? I've seen people from south of the border asking, oh, how far or what's the closest to Max and Circle K to the U.S. border? I might drive up and get one. I don't know about bringing the Froster itself back into the U.S.
I'm sure it's fine.
But the cup, it should be. Yeah, just make sure you declare it. Follow all the rules. We don't want any of our listeners having to tune in from the big house. But again, those exclusive Vancouver Titans cups, they're available until they're not. Once they are gone, they are gone.
Back into the fray.
Let's talk about the weekend that was, the playoffs play-in that took place. So just to run through what Omni has been just wanting us to talk about all episode long. You had your first matches on the Friday where the Guangzhou Charge beat the Chengdu Hunters 4-1 and the Shanghai Dragons beat the Philadelphia Fusion 4-2. So I actually, doing things a little bit different, I want to talk about each of the matches that we see. There's not too many. So let's start off talking a little bit about the Guangzhou Charge Chengdu Hunters. The Hunters were arguably considered to be an upstart team coming into this. What happened?
Reality hit him hard. I mean, I was cheering for them. I saw Amang pulling that, you know, hamster comp that he likes so much. But they've encountered a team that was just more prepared to play this meta. There was a lot of carry plays, both from Hadba, who kind of stood out as a great Sigma, much better than their counterparts on the Hunters. Nero, we've already discussed this, how great his Pharah is. And Eileen, his Doomfist. It's like Taylor built for this team, at least we thought so, right? But they kind of, watching Guangzhou play against Chengdu kind of reminded me of how good Shanghai was in Stage 3. So my heart goes out to Chengdu fans. They were super fun to watch. I was cheering a lot for them. I marked them a bunch of times during the podcast as my go-to match. It wasn't a Titans match, and they definitely played us well, but unfortunately, that wasn't enough against Guangzhou.
It occurred to me that, you know, like you'd point out, Guangzhou had better prepared for their opponent. And not only that, I kind of felt that Chengdu just couldn't figure out the meta in time.
Right. Like, well, some of these maps were pretty close, but like,
sure. But like when, like it didn't. I never felt that the Hunters had what it.
Yeah.
Had what it was required to actually get the win. Right. I'm not suggesting they didn't show up to put up a fight, but that's. It was like, hey, you know, hey guys, let's, you know, make sure we have an A for effort here.
Mm-hmm. And they were the lowest seed coming into this play-in. Definitely not the favorites to come out of this match.
The next match on the day was the Philadelphia Fusion facing the Shanghai Dragons. And we had a lot of question marks about the Shanghai Dragons. We were wondering, are they the team that's backed into the playoffs? And, you know, for all intents and purposes, every indication was that that was the case. They did get the win over the Fusion in what was one of the weirdest matches that I have ever seen while watching the Overwatch League. Outside of the power outage at the Dallas homestand, which at least didn't occur during a match, This, so why was it weird? For those of you who did not watch the Fusion Dragons match, well, first and foremost, it essentially went the distance. I mean, there was 7 maps. Now, the score was 4-2 for the Dragons. You'd be like, oh, okay, well, I don't understand. Well, there was a draw on Anubis. That's okay. But let me walk through the maps for you, and I'll give you guys a chance to tell me if you notice anything weird. We went, started on Busan. Dragons win 2-1. We moved to King's Row. Dragons win 5-4. We go to Anubis, tie 3-3. We go to Gibraltar, 4-3 for the Fusion. We go to Lijiang Tower, Shanghai Dragons, go to the 2-1 over the Fusion. We go to King's Row, Philadelphia Fusion beats the Shanghai Dragons 3-1, and we end up on Dorado, Dragons beat the Fusion 5-4. Notice anything odd there?
Yeah, where's that record scratch sound effect? I'm like,
So, Overwatch League rule states that no map may be replayed again.
Yep.
So, they had a problem with Numbani. For whatever reason, someone forgot to load it. I don't know. It was a technical problem. And the Fusion chose Numbani as the map they wanted to play. The Overwatch League couldn't resolve the issue in the amount of time it took for them. And this one went long. Like, if you didn't live on the West Coast, you stayed up real late watching this.
Are you guys buying it?
That
Numbani was broken?
I don't... Well, okay. So, this is... If it wasn't, why do they do King's Row again? Because they still have another map they can go to.
Yeah.
Like, I've got no problem if Numbani is the only one left, and, oh, it's broken, now we have to repeat. Okay, fine. But you had two choices, and if the Fusion are able to say, well, if you can't give us Numbani, we want King's Row back.
Yeah.
First and foremost, your rules don't, like, I get it. This is, you know, some crazy circumstances. But the rules are quite explicit. Like, this, to me, isn't an option. And yet, you know, the Fusion were cheeky about it, too, on Twitter. They actually tweeted out, hey, you know, no team has ever beat us twice at King's Row in the same match.
I don't know what was going on behind the scenes if Numbani was broken or not. And actually, it did have a history of disappearing from ladder and from Overwatch. I'm not sure if it was in Overwatch League, but it disappeared from ladder for some point, just Numbani. But I'm pretty darn sure that a lot of, like, the officials, or what you might call the referees, they were crossing their fingers just not to see Philadelphia win, despite this awkward situation where they played the same map twice, selecting the same map twice. It's super odd. Felt not really professional, but at least chat was entertaining. During that time, everybody was quoting the rule book. Suddenly everybody became an expert. Yeah, stating the number and the citation from... it was hilarious.
I went down to the local chapters just to see if someone's now published the Overwatch League rulebook with, you know, added commentary.
Yeah. I'm just hoping we could pull this off, because let me tell you, if you could play, like, King's Row once, twice, three times, I'm all for it.
Well, so if you're the Fusion, though, because the Fusion got to choose, they chose Numbani. Numbani's broken. The fact they go to choose King's Row again, a map they've already lost on, albeit in a close fight, over Eichenwald, how bad they must be about Eichenwald. Like, we don't even want to touch this one. Anyhow, the Fusion did win the second time King's Row quite handily, but then... went back and forth on Dorado, ended up losing to the Dragons. But you're right. If the Fusion had come back and won, my God. Like, it's a credibility thing. And I'm going to use a traditional sport here. Baseball, their all-star game, which itself, you know, is just a showcase of the best talent for the sponsors and, you know, fans, kids, all that jazz. One of the all-star games ends in a tie. And I completely get the business side of things. They had gone through their entire pitching staff, and no team wants to see one of their players hurt in this all-star game, because it could have a drastic impact to the postseason push. And because of that tie, like, all the traditionalists are up in arms. Oh my God, baseball, there's no ties in baseball. And sure as heck, there is never ever going to be another tie in the all-star game. They actually have rules that prevent that from happening.
Not in my sports.
Yeah, I mean, again, I know esports, traditional sport, they're different, but Overwatch wants to put itself at par to traditional sports.
And NFL had Deflategate. This would be what? Numbani Gate?
Numbani Gate. Yeah, you know, someone, you know, it was Gritty, you know, Philadelphia mascot, Gritty.
Oh, he's horrified.
In the back, he was hacking the system.
That's a scary picture in my
mind.
I'm
glad you guys had fun in chat, though, because I had chat off because I was watching it on the TV. And this whole match just felt super duper draggy. Like at first I was kind of rooting for the Dragons because I think with you know the whole 0-27 or 0-40 thing, like there's a little bit of soft spot for the Dragons, even though that you know they did beat us last stage. But as the match grew on, it was just kind of like, you know who they reminded me of now that you guys, whenever you guys are talking, it just clicked for me. Toronto. They are the Toronto Defiant. Like just like they could have closed this game so many times and they just let them back in, get another match. It's like they're getting paid by the match or something.
It's probably the colors, too.
Paid by the match is a good segue, because you had the Guangzhou Charge and the Shanghai Dragons go on, which meant the Dragons faced off against the London Spitfire, and that one went 8 maps.
Wow.
So you had the Spitfire win the first 2-0, the Spitfire win the second 1-0. Ah, the Spitfire are totally in control. But hold the phones, the Dragon win 1-0, the Spitfire win 5-4. The Dragons are like, hold the phones again. We're going to win 2-1. Oh, we're going to draw 3-3. Oh, we're going to win 3-1. And we go to map 8, Ilios, and the Spitfire pulled us out 2-1.
I mean, when the Titans are not involved, whenever my team is not involved, I'm always rooting for the underdog. That's why it was super frustrating to me to see Shanghai basically giving this one away. I was,
And it should be
Shanghai
noted,
considered the underdog?
They were, like, seating-wise,
and
from all the rumors about Spitfire being super good in this meta.
And it should be noted, Nambani worked for this match. In fact, the Dragons picked it, so, ayo.
I want to believe.
I didn't get an opportunity to actually watch this one with everything that was going on this weekend, but the highlights, I think the Spitfire were lucky to pull this off.
Agreed.
Like they, it's almost like those first two map wins gave them more confidence than they should have possessed, because they didn't look quite right after that. And the Dragons, it was like almost like kind of like blood in the water. They, you know, so you're saying we have a chance.
I was expecting for more from the Spitfire, definitely.
Yeah, but the fact that the Spitfire did pull it out did mean the Dragons, you know, Cinderella story is now over. Someone took the shoe off that princess's foot. Leaving us the last match of the day, the Seoul Dynasty versus the Guangzhou Charge. This one was one-sided, as we have already talked about. 4-1 Dynasty. It wasn't even close. Now, we got to give Guangzhou credit. I mean, Horizon Lunar Colony was all sorts of fun. And then they pulled out a win on Rialto. But they didn't stand a chance after that. I mean, they tried to put up a fight on Eichenwald, but I mean, Seoul was going to win once they got that 2-0 on Lijiang. So now's your opportunity to talk.
Okay. So this being the match that's most relevant to us, I kind of took notes and analyzed it and all that. It just felt wrong not preparing before this. But okay, so in Busan, when the match started, it felt like, okay, Nero is going to pull out that Pharah for that map. And he did at the start, but Fleta decided to go McCree and counter him hard. Ryu Jehong and Toby, the OG best support line in the game, they went for the Lucio and Mora. And they were not shying away from not matching Shuzana. But Fleta kind of set the tone there. And there's an hilarious... Who was the guy? Was it Bren that did it? No, Sideshow. He posted a video. Find it. He's talking about how Nero might have lost some control over his bowel movements and stuff. So it's pretty interesting. Sorry, anyways, what? Like figuratively speaking, he basically described how scared Nero was on Pharah playing against Fleta's McCree. And what was also even more impressive to me is how Fitz was so good on Doomfist. And going back to his career, I kind of like Googled around, and I'm not going to say, that I know all these new comers into Overwatch League. And apparently from Element Mystic, that's his main hero. And it definitely showed. He was crazy. He was not just matching, Eileen, but he was actually outplaying him. And there was this one moment where they fisted each other and killed each other, something that's okay. Not even possible. Technical issue again.
G-rated podcast here. G-rated podcast.
Hey, come on. I meant it in the cleanest way possible. It's your dirty mind. That's,
right now, we've got some listeners. What are they talking about? I don't get it.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Just two grown men.
Don't Google anything to do with what Omni said in the last, 30 seconds. Because trust me, if you do that at work, there could be a discussion with HR.
Anyways, they took 2-0 on Kings Row. Horizon was really, really fun. A lot of OT, a lot of weird C9s going on. I think at this point, because Seoul was up 2-0, they kind of pulled their foot off the gas a little bit and Charge held off from last point. Lijiang Tower, though, that's when Marvel and Michelle really stood out to me, and they totally outplayed Ryo and Hotbar on the first map, and it was an easy 2-0 and 3-1 for Seoul. And Eichenwald, another anticipation for Pharah from Nero, but Nero is still afraid to play it, and his McCree is not that great against the Doomfist Reaper. And they get pushed out of first point really quickly, but then, you know, Nero and Eileen, they keep impressing on the way. But once they get to the castle, Seoul was able to stabilize and they were able to get to the third point in OT. But then when Seoul was on an attack, they just popped off and they got almost 3 minutes in time bank and they won 4-1. So yeah, these are my notes and hopefully, made the podcast better. But yeah.
What are you trying to imply here?
I'm just saying that, even though there's no Titans match to analyze, I'm not gonna
you're doing good work there. I'll give
Who's
you a raise.
Who's the Soul fan here?
Not me,
Sam. You've obviously had such a strong influence on him.
Yeah, and I didn't even pay attention this closely.
I did not. Unfortunately, that particular day was bad for me, so I can't speak to it again. Highlights is all I saw, so I don't have as detailed notes. But it just occurred to me that, you know, Seoul was by far the better team. And that's where, again, earlier in the podcast, I'd said I kind of had some pause to consider, what that means for the Vancouver Titans before predicting the Titans are going to win 4-1. Maybe, again, over comments.
I wish we would have known what... If they're going to play the same lineup again against us, because if they are going to play Toby, then yeah, definitely put Slime in and it's an easy win for us, I think. Who knows? With Saul, you can never know.
Yeah, they'll have their C-squad out.
That's the whole thing. The Toby pretty much implies that they're going Lucio.
Yeah. Gesture comes out of Fisher comes out of retirement.
And Jexy means they might actually run the Pharah. Yeah. So I see them sticking with Toby and Lucio and Fleta kind of flexing out to everything but Pharah, which is arguably one of his best heroes.
So let's
don't jinx it.
I've said it enough times now to jinx it, I suppose.
Let's talk about the actual brackets now. So we already talked about the fact the Vancouver Titans and the Seoul Dynasty are going to face off. We have the Vancouver Titans moving on, Dynasty going down to the loser's bracket. So the other match in our bracket is the Los Angeles Gladiators facing off against the Hangzhou Spark. I haven't a clue who's going to actually come out of this one. I kind of feel the Gladiators will.
Yeah, I think so too. Hangzhou.
You have two teams that have been preparing for themselves, right, essentially, right? Right.
And this is an example of two teams that went into the playoffs despite, I think, not being the best team if we include the play-ins as well. They just rode off on a very stable, good season, but coming into the last stage, I'm not sure if they are as scary as maybe Seoul is now or Spitfire is. Who knows? They might just... but nobody really knows, right? Mm-hmm. We haven't seen them play a match in this meta, which is turning out to be quite different than normal 2-2 we have seen, because not only Sigma, but we saw some significant patches go through. So,
do you think Briggs is going to get rolled out?
Maybe with the Ryan Zarya comp, but I'm not sure.
I've played Brig. I don't understand where Brig fits. Truly don't.
Nobody misses Brig. Come on.
No, no. But like now you have a character where it's like, hell, I could totally see Torb in before a Brig would show up. Anyhow, got to pick a winner here. Glads, Spark, which one?
3 for 3, Glads.
Okay, that's, so we got.
I'm gonna go with Spark because Glads never won a playoff series.
Okay, well, see this. The fact that you did this now sort of throws a wrench in things because Vancouver plays the winner of this, and we can't go through our brackets here.
Okay, I'll go with.
Too late. Too late. You broke the RFP bracket.
No, the most interesting part is like I was all ready to pick the Spark, but Omni. I don't know if for you guys that are diehard RSP listeners. Omni has kind of stealthily been selling the Spark as one of the worst teams in the league all throughout last stage.
Not worst, but overrated, definitely.
Very, very overrated. If you go back and listen, you will hear Omni kind of just like, oh yeah, Spark, one of the worst teams in the league. Just very subtle.
No, that was Boston.
Boston is definitely the worst team in the league.
Hey, I was saying that through like the after stage one, even stage two.
And people were
crapping on me for that.
And he has kind of mind influenced me to believe that the Spark are a bad team. So even though the Spark are ranked higher, it kind of had me thinking like, Omni's got a point. He does watch an awful lot of Overwatch. You know what I mean? He definitely watches more Overwatch than me. So if he keeps saying the Spark are a bad team, we should go Glads. And then he goes and does this.
Okay. There's a few things that bother me about a Hangzhou Spark. First, their colorway is triggering to me. And then the fact that everybody hailed them as the best expansion team coming into Season 2. Let's just not go there, okay?
All expert analysis starts with their colorway bothers me.
Of course. Why do you think you suddenly think the Dragons are the new Toronto? It's not true. Their play style. It's just
all
the
mind games.
I can't believe our listeners get this type of content for free. Normally got to pay extra for it. Okay, well, seeing as our bracket's broken, we're not going to even go down the path anymore. London Spitfire face off against the New York Excelsior.
Oh, my God. I want New York to win this one. I want them to win this one.
What is wrong with you this week?
Because I'm starting to like dislike Spitfire even more.
So you're hoping that New York and their surgical approach.
Yeah, I've been like, hating on them the entire season. I want to see them win because I think they have a potential of upsetting in the semifinals whoever comes up. I assume it'll be the Shock. I think New York can kind of sneak up on them.
Well, so first and foremost,
yeah. Okay, I'll say New York.
Okay, so New York. I look at this. I think New York wins. I got to give respect to the number two seed, and it's not as if this was a team from the West. I mean,
nobody expects them to win. That's why they might, reverse choke on the series.
Well, this is the thing, like, does London look that much better? Having only watched one opportunity, I don't feel they look that much better. But again, this we don't know what New York looks like in the current meta. Plus, hey, New York had just spent stage four experimenting, right?
Pretty much.
Sam?
I have the Spitfire going on because Profit popped off. And again, right. I was going... It seems like I'm the new Omni because so far we have Omni saying the Dynasty are actually a decent team. He's saying the Spark are a decent team. And now he's, I guess in this context, cheering for NYXL.
It's a new Omni meta. Yeah.
I have the Spitfire.
Okay, I'm almost scared to ask. Atlanta or San Francisco?
Low-key, I think this will be the tightest series in the quarterfinals. Is that a... I don't think that's even like a controversial opinion now.
No, there's a lot of people that have Atlanta beating San Francisco.
I don't want to start the talk about the role awards, but I think Erster is actually the most impressive one that we saw in Stage 4. He's pretty nuts on every character that he played. Mm-hmm. Ooh, I want to beat San Francisco in the grand finals, but will I be mad if Atlanta takes care of them before that? Well, they still have the loser's bracket.
That's right. For Vancouver to actually play San Francisco in the grand final, one of those two teams has to lose.
Like it's kind of that rock, paper, scissors thing for me. I don't know. I'm gonna go all out today. I'm gonna say Atlanta.
Wow. That seems like the cool guy pick, though.
That's what I am.
I got shock.
Yeah, and I had shock too. I feel the Shock are still a decent enough team, and it's not a slight against Atlanta. It's just we've seen all year long that the Shock have been able to adapt. So why would this be any different?
Before we have any like raging Shock fans, I do believe they have the best team in the league this year. But I'm taking the reign in this match.
And then from there, ultimately, the winners of the top two play each other. The winners of the bottom two play each other, and then blah 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 blah. The brackets have been broken because Omni won't agree with Samurai, so therefore we're not going to go any further than that.
Did you say Samurai? That sounded like Samurai.
Samurai.
Ooh, that's a good username. Missed opportunity. Yep.
But the bracket is online. In fact, there's a bunch of bracket simulators. We'll link to one in our Discord so you can create your own and share with us what you have as your bracket so that we can see and also applaud you if you happen to get it right. Now, let's talk about some awards. So the Dennis Hovalko Award was given to Custa. And for those that aren't familiar with the Dennis Hovalko Award, it's really about giving it to the person who... For me, it's almost equivalent to like the Lady Bing in hockey, which is like the sportsmanship award, but it's more than that. It's like it's the Masterton Trophy, the Lady Bing, and I'm using these NHL references, which many of you might not get, but it's about the most well-rounded person who contributes back beyond the Overwatch League. And I actually have no issue with Custa getting it. I think having, you know, seen the video presentation and lead up to it, he was the right pick.
I'm 100% okay with that. I just found it really weird and funny at the same time how people try to debate who is the nicer guy between Custa and Gamsu. It was super odd. Like,
it could be more than one nice guy.
Yeah.
Guys.
No. There's only ever one nice guy.
One per season.
It's pretty much like Highlander. And that nice guy remains nice until someone comes around and nices their head off. And then... that new guy is then the nicest
guy. Out nice you.
And yeah, Mickey is no longer nice.
Yeah. That's why he was benched.
To us. Yeah. He's only toxic. Nice if he plays. No, but for a second, I think this is like actually a really important award because, in my opinion, the biggest thing that's stopping esports from being much bigger than it is the toxicity.
Mm-hmm.
And like this is a very, you know, in many ways it's a very small reward and it's a nice gesture to Internet Hulk, but I think it represents like something much much bigger that kids can have an example that they can follow up to, that you don't need to, you know, rage quit or spit fire on everybody on your team that doesn't do well, or you know what I mean, like you can have positive impact and play games. Like, most people are here to have fun, right? And it's just so unnecessary that the community has so quickly become just so much toxicity, and it's starting so young. And so I think this is a great thing the league is doing. I wish they could blow it up bigger somehow. Maybe you know have a rep from each team. That's I think it's Masterton, right? If I'm talking hockey,
yeah.
They each team has a rep. For either it's community service or just something that they're doing outside the game to preach positivity, for lack of a better term.
Yeah. I think it's a good point there. There's also another added facet to it. When you look at a lot of these young players and they transition from the age of 18, they be basically kids who go into a professional role, and not only a job, but also a job that might have a lot of influence on fans and viewers. And Custa is one of those older people. God, I can't believe I'm like calling somebody. Like, is he 28 or 27? And he's like one of the old timers in the league. So he sets an example for what like the league would have wished that all of these guys would have represented. So I guess that's the main goal of awarding someone who's like that. Yeah, and a lot of leagues have that. In the NBA, there's like a, both a sportsmanship award and like the most you know, professional and a teammate of the year award as well. So it's kind of a combination of the three. And another question, if we had that Dennis Havelka award just for the Titans player, just from having met them and seen the interactions, who you think that would be from the six guys on our team?
I'll go first. It's probably Bumper.
Bumper, oh, that's a pretty...
That's a controversial pick, hey?
Especially when you look on interactions outside of the team itself.
It's true, but every time you point to who has the most energy, who has the best trash talk, who has the best... who brings the most joy to the team, it's always Bumper. So yeah, controversial, but I think that's how the team would vote. And this is make-believe land, right? So I just took the assumption that the team would be voting.
What do you say, Chris?
Janu.
Janu. I'll go with that too. Yeah.
I Bumper's off the board. I mean, I'm not suggesting he's not like a nice guy, and he's been real good with interviews with us and other podcasts, and like he's very friendly. It's just imagine him getting the award. People would lose their mind.
That's why I like Sam so much. He goes on this like big speech of what that award means, and then he goes,
"Come on, Eddie. He threw soul. A game, man. It's not a big deal."
All right.
Speaking of other awards, the Role Awards were given out. So I'm going to quickly just run through the Role Award winners. So on the DPS or damage side, you had Corey, Ding, Haxall, Sinatra. On tank, you had Choyobin, Gushwe, Mano, and Super. And for support, you had IDK, Kareev, Moth, and Twilight. And the Overwatch League also decided to give four players in each role an honorable mention, which quite frankly kind of sounds like runners-up, or I don't know, maybe it's the second All-Star team, but they're not All-Star teams. It's a long list, but those who were featured in honorable mentions that would be relevant to us as Vancouver Titans fans, it's Bumper, Janu, and Slime.
So this is equivalent to what we see in like regular leagues and traditional sport leagues when you have all team two, kind of in a way similar. And some of the problems that we have there we've inherited as well as like, what about players who play like multiple positions? Do we select forwards and guards or a center? And that's like the equivalent in the NBA. I'm sure there's something pretty similar to what you see in football and hockey. But being a video game with patches and stuff, we have even expanded upon these problems. And to me, these selections are super, super weird and distorted. Maybe it's a main diversity in terms of a main versus flex sort of thing, both in tanks and in healers. And if you actually look at a picks, you can definitely see that they chose maybe like two main supports versus two main healers. Then there's a lot of problem with what I see. Like maybe they try to go for diversity in terms of having different representatives from different teams. Maybe it's this meta screwing up with this award, but like a lot of it's recency bias and a lot of it is not recency bias. So a lot of inconsistencies. If we look at the tanks, for example, Choyobin, sure, Gushwe, I'll get to that. Mano and Super, again, great selection. But Gushwe, for example, he's a great Winston, sure, but and super popular. Maybe it's a geographic thing. I don't know. But his Ryan was only okay. And he wasn't even starting all of his games. Like Bumper, Janu from our team, and even like other tanks from other teams like Fury and Roar, I think they had overall better seasons, at least in my eyes. And then you look at damage.
So Sinatra. Yeah.
Is he really, he really a damage player?
His Doomfist is next level.
Sure.
But only when Doomfist gets into the map. So then the only other thing I could think of is where they, like how did they make that selection? Was because there was no damage in Goats, that was the person who dealt all the damage?
And if we are talking about damage, like Sinatra, fine. Even if you consider Goats, like Zarya was, in a way, your damage dealer, fine. But talk about recency bias with Corey. Like, he was definitely his greatest game was like taking a big dump on our team. But was he that great outside of the three games during stage four? He had three great games.
He popped off.
He did, but would you say that Erster and Nero weren't better?
Or? See, this is the thing, though, is damage in my mind is problematic because of the meta not really allowing for DPS characters to be played. Like, you look at Corey before he popped off in Stage 4, is he popped off in previous stages when the Justice decided to throw in a Widow.
Yeah.
Like, that when we started to see Widow coming in, like, especially like Busan and that, Corey would pop off. Like, he did quite well, and that's when we saw the Justice sort of having this glimmer of light. And then Stage 4 comes around, it's like, holy hell in a handbasket. But the category in my mind is almost broken because of the meta. Like, the fact, you're right, so if Sinatra makes damage...
Then why isn't Samun Tzu there, right?
Correct. Yeah. And if you were to say, well, no, Samun Tzu doesn't play a damage hero as well as Sinatra does, okay, I would totally agree, but I don't feel Sinatra on his Doomfist play alone should be there. I feel there are far better choices.
He played Tracer for 5 minutes.
As you guys were talking, you know, Chris is going to hate this, but Corey, I thought of an NBA player that Corey is exactly like, and you're going to like this, Omni. It's Devin Booker. Shows up in March when it's irrelevant.
They're
already way away from the playoffs, and then, you know, scores every single point, gets all the highlights. There you go. There's your NBA reference for this week.
I'm breathing deep and hard now. Like, okay, I'll take it.
It is a good one.
Yeah.
It's interesting to also point out, though, there are 5 candidates up for MVP. Only one of them didn't get a Role Star award. Janu.
Yeah. Yep.
Janu did not get a Role Star award, yet he's considered an MVP in the league. Now, you could argue that, okay, based on the tanks that were available, that there's, you know, 4 tanks there that are better than Janu. Yeah, okay. But, like, hell, Sinatra's damaged, so, like, it's so weird. It's new. They did it, and they'll probably refine it for next season, but...
Yeah. And there's also the fact that, like, only 2 teams were consistently good throughout the entire the entire league, right? Mm-hmm. So you can't just, like... If you were super objective, I guess you could, like, select 80% of this list would be Titans and you know, Titans and Shock players, sprinkle a little bit of Mano and you know, and fine, put in Corey there. And it wouldn't be as fun to other fans of other teams. So, yeah, it goes back to what I was saying before that. But support also, super annoying with Kareev. He wasn't even playing support roles most of his time. Like, what the hell is going on? And even if he did, he wasn't that great. Was he better than Big Goose? No. Was he better than Masa? No. Was he better than Violet, Slime, Shu? This is just like naming names from the top of my head. It wasn't that great. And it goes back to the fact that he had a great game against the Titans. And apparently that qualifies you to a season role award. So if you, make doo-doo, I'm trying to like keep this, G-rated podcast. So if you, destroy the Titans, then I guess congratulations, you got an award, and it doesn't really matter if you were good or not during the rest of the season. Congrats.
So for those of you who are like, well, man, these guys, what are they going on about? The Overwatch League actually published the stats to support their picks, and or at least the signature stats, which are the ones that I guess influenced their decision. I find it really interesting. I'm actually looking at Gushue here. The signature stats, his best stat was that he was second in final blows per 10 minutes in Orisa in team fights. That's the best signature stat. The next best one is third in team fight win rate with Primal Rage. Okay, so he's got a...
Third?
But this is the thing. He's
not even the best at what he's hailed to be, like the Primal Blade, Gushue.
This is what's so weird about this. The signature stats that they're listing here, and like Sinatra, for instance, who I went off picking. On. They listed a first.
The best DPS while the sun is up and
but
Semler and Hex are commentating.
But for my grief on Sinatra, I conceded. If they're going to include the Zarya damage, which is what they did, they gave him, he's got essentially 3 Zarya contributed firsts there. Team fight win rate with Graviton Surge. First hero damage in 10 minutes is Zarian team fights. First hero damage, 10 minutes is all heroes in team fight. Okay, fine. Whatever. How the hell does Gushue, who doesn't even crack a first, get a roll award?
Well, Gushue, on record now, is the most overrated main tank in the league.
I'm just going to say it how it is. I think it's a business-led decision.
Popularity contest.
You'll love this with Kareev. They listed one of his signature stats. 10th in team fight win rate as Ana.
Yo, top 10 in league.
There are,
it's pretty good.
There are 9 better Annas than him in team fights.
How many teams do we have again?
20.
20. That's top. You can take that as top half, right?
Yeah, he's not.
Kareev does have a first, though. He's first in enemies slept per 10 minutes.
Yeah. If those enemies are on the Vancouver Titans. Yeah.
His teams lose pretty much, you know, almost, 49% of their team fights when he's playing Ana, but he's sleeping the hell out of someone. Yeah. Oh, well, whatever. Roll awards are what they are. Before we wrap up this episode, we want to talk a little bit about some Overwatch news. It appears that, late breaking, the season may have started again, but the new competitive season was launched, and most Overwatch League professionals were finding themselves in gold and silver, which
serves them right.
I can't imagine me doing competitive and, like, you know, lining up against super. Yeah. Or
and Sinatra is like, let's see if you talk some smack about me now.
Yeah, no kidding. So they took it offline, and then they reintroduced the Roll Queue beta season. So that came back. And then late breaking news, it sounds like competitive season 18 has been turned back on, though I have yet to prove it out. First and foremost, there's been this request. Let's reset MMR. We're not too sure what goes in MMR, but you should probably reset MMR because you've changed this. I mean, the obvious problem being that your MMR previously may have been, as Blizzard says, a combination of different statistics that's very easily, you know, separated. It doesn't appear to people that that's actually what's occurring.
Maybe it is. Like, Blizzard has been pretty weird in regards of sometimes saying what they're doing, maybe saying something different than what was actually happening. A lot of miscommunication. And was it yesterday then that the season was supposed to end, like the beta? Anyways, I was staring at the play screen for far too long to realize that the season is about to end in less than 1 minute. Message was actually a lie. I was staring at it for, I think, quarter of an hour, and like, oh, this minute is pretty long.
You figured out the mechanism to slow down time.
Yeah, probably. It's kind of what happens with Toronto's games. Well, at least at the start, it's already
now it's Shanghai.
Yeah.
So yes, Overwatch competitive season may or may not be back. It might be back. Who knows?
It's probably Numbani broken again. Yeah.
And then the other late-breaking news actually has to do with the Vancouver Titans. And this is something we've talked about on previous episodes. We're not going to go too deep into it. But the Vancouver Titans were originally purchased by the Aquilini Esports Group, which is Aquilini's is a family here in Vancouver that owns a lot of things, including Vancouver Canucks, Rogers Arena, the barn that the Canucks and the Titans will be playing in. They partnered with Luminosity Gaming. They then came into an agreement where the Aquilini's were going to acquire Luminosity Gaming through another company called J55. That company has then since acquired a company called Gameco, which was owned by the Aquilini's. And then the J55 Capital Corporation merged with Enthusiast Gaming. Again, hopefully everyone's keeping profuse notes here. So why is this back in the news again? Well, the merger is now complete. So Enthusiast Gaming has merged with Aquilini, Gameco, and Luminosity. Now, ultimately, what are the questions that I'm seeing being asked? Oh, the Aquilini's still involved. Oh, damn straight they are. They pretty much own this new company. Now, they don't own it outright. It's going to be a publicly traded company. So for those of you who want to buy shares in the Titans, so to speak, you theoretically could. Though keep in mind, you're not buying shares in the Titans. You're buying shares in the company that owns the company that owns the Titans. Big difference. Mm.
So if we own shares in the Titans, are we still allowed to be objective?
I don't know. We might have to.
Will the podcast have to stop because I own 2.5 shares?
I don't know.
This is going to be a stakeholder podcast now.
Yeah, and we'll all hang out in the shareholder suite at the homestand.
We'll make sure we have a disclaimer before every episode. Yeah. But Sam owns 4 shares.
There is a whole lot more if you want to read it. You can break it down for us because, you know, I think Sam's smart. Omni, you're kind of smart. I'm not smart. I'm throwing shade, but I don't care. The point being, though, merger happened. What does it mean for the Vancouver Titans today? Absolutely nothing. They play the Seoul Dynasty on Thursday, and they're in the playoffs. What does it mean for next year? It might mean stuff, but ultimately, if you read the agreement, the Canucks Sports and Entertainment and the Vancouver Arena Limited Partnership, which is essentially the business side of the team and the arena and all that, they are still going to be providing a broad range of marketing and business support services, including corporate partnership, selling support, retail support, brand association, marketing support, esports planning and execution, digital and social media support, and back office support. Simply put, the Canucks are still essentially the guys doing what needs to be done. Mm-hmm. Anywho.
Cool.
So.
Is there a test at the end of this?
If there is, I'd fail. But we are at the end of our episode, as we normally get to. I don't recall seeing anyone share a picture of our phone number in their phone.
The poet is taking a break.
The acrostics that I've become so accustomed to listening to, they're done. I don't have an opportunity. I'm a little disappointed. What am I going to do with myself here?
Omni, sing a song.
Well, I haven't prepared one. That was also like conditional upon a new review submission. So.
Which we also did not receive.
So maybe our awards are actually like punishments and people are actively not engaging with us to make sure that we have no more poems and no more songs.
Yeah, please punish us.
Well, for those of you who do want to prove to Sam that you do have your phone or our phone number in your phone. Our phone number is 604-409-3324. That's 604-409-3324. Conditions may apply. You can send us a text message. You can leave a voicemail. If you leave us a voicemail, there's a good chance that we're going to go include it in an episode. So long as it doesn't, you know, cause us to get, like, canceled. That'd be wrong. And if you are wanting to reach us in a more traditional sense to give us a review that you can't leave somewhere because only the Canadian, or it's not the Canadian, but Apple Podcast Store takes them. Just shoot us a review by email, feedback@readysetpwn.com. We'd love to hear from you. Hey, you got some thoughts about latest episode? Let us know how it was. You think Sam is actually a bot? Tell us your theory. It's all good. But yeah, who's going to fire up Minecraft?
Dude, you did not get a new computer to play Minecraft, right?
Okay. It's just a coincidence that the timing is very similar. But yeah, I did build my own computer. That was an experience and a half.
Have you seen those RTX videos for Minecraft, the ray tracing ones? Oh,
they do look good.
Yeah.
They do look good.
You got to get a good rig for that.
Yeah. So I did build my computer. I streamed it on Twitch. Thank goodness I did because people were able to help me actually do it. Like I encounter these problems where I'm like, I have no idea what to do. Like, it's telling me to do this, but where is this? I got like,
I signed in just to kind of throw popcorn at you, and I was so impressed by our community. They were actually like helpful. I was like, dang, I should have thought of this when I was building my computer.
Did you throw popcorn at me?
No, I just left.
Yeah, I saw. You came in, said a few things, bugged out. Good friend you are. But the computer is built. It's behind me. I'm not using it right now to record, but maybe at some point down the road I will. I'm getting used to the ultra-wide part. Holy hell, that's a screen. I played Overwatch on it, and I'm like, I got to sit farther away. That's total windowed mode experience for me down the road. But yeah, Sam, what final words of wisdom do you want to share with our listeners today?
Just know, if you guys have $3 at your disposal, you can get a Froster plus a Twizzler, or you can go to your thrift store and see if you can find a Toronto Defiant jersey. And only one of those things can quench your thirst.
Ugh.
Omni.
Wow, after that. I mean, I don't have any final thoughts today, just final deeds. I'm just about to go in and do my placements for season 18, so wish me luck, boys and girls.
May the odds forever be in your favor.
Somebody team up with them and throw the match.
Yeah, hopefully there's no Gushue in my placements. Because I've been talking some smack here.
As for me, the final words I want to share is, again, if you're looking for ways to support a podcast, the biggest one that you can do is click that subscribe button in whatever podcast platform you happen to be listening to us on. If you don't listen to us on a podcast platform, you just tune in on raceitpwn.com. That's okay, too. But if you do subscribe, it just tells us that you love us just a little bit more. That said, if you do want to go further to support us, you can do that through one of two different ways. You can go to patreon.com/readysetpwn. There's a variety of different tiers that get you access to the Inner Sanctum in Discord, to some more tangible rewards, all the way up to like pretty much owning an episode. So again, check those all out. Or if you just want to drop us sort of a one-time cup of coffee, just go to ko-fi.com/ReadySetPwn, and then you can just drop a donation our way in Canadian funds. I'd say it's like donut money, but I can't eat donuts right now. I can, but they cost too many points. And I'm
can they donate Titan stocks?
Well, you know what? If enough people drop coin, we could probably go and buy a share. Like, the shares aren't even on sale yet. They go on sale like later this week, or maybe it's next week.
But just a timeshare of Titan stocks.
I hope it's not considered. Yeah, I hope it won't be considered as insider trading here.
But. You know, that would totally screw. Oh, gosh. But yes, I'd say donut money, but I can't eat donuts back to that point. I am, however, 50 pounds down.
Woo!
Ooh.
Like, I kid you not, I have no idea where that 50 pounds has gone, and the fact that it was even possible to lose that much, because like I was actually trying to gauge, like, what does 50 pounds feel like? And it's like, holy heck, that's heavy. So
yes, it's very heavy. Congratulations. In celebration, I will not buy you a Bud Light.
So the funny thing is Bud Light, when it comes to beers, Bud Light is actually not that bad if I'm going to drink a beer.
Okay, and then we'll rephrase that.
It's a lighter beer. I prefer not to drink a lighter beer, but
Frosters are better.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure they are. They totally are.
We're so bad at this. Or so good. Depends on how you think about it.
That's right. But on behalf of Omniat, Omnistrice, Sam at another Sam Chan, myself, Chris at Lightforce, I'm going to sign off the Ready Set Pwn podcast, where you can find us every which way at ReadySetPwn.com, all social media at ReadySetPwn, with those magical two words. Catchphrase! Wait, you're still here? Why haven't you run out to your local Circle K or Max convenience store yet to grab one of those exclusive Vancouver Titans Froster cups? With 6 different cups available, and only while supplies last, I'd recommend you get on your way. Those cups are available in Western Canada. Hey, Circle K is a Canadian-owned company, by the way. And the nearest store could be found if you head to CircleK.com. Oh, and one last thing before you actually do head out the door. Why not share which cup you picked up by tagging us on social media? Hit us up at Ready Set Pwn and let at Circle K West Can know that RSP sent you. We'll be right back.